Podcasts of this and other shows are now available on SuperTalk1270.com.
Live and local here on SuperTalk 1270. The latest gadgets, online security, websites and apps, social media, and so much more. How can technology help you? Let's find out. It's time for the Tech Ranch on SuperTalk 1270.
From our studio in beautiful Mandan, North Dakota, along the mighty Missouri River, here is your guru of geek, Marlo Anderson.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting of the Tech Ranch. Today, we will be continuing our discussion of what to do with your old cell phones. And later in the show, it is the Battle of the Tech Broadcasters. Jeremy Novak, the technology broadcaster for KFYR-TV, and I will be discussing how we feel about getting woken up at 3:30 in the morning on Saturday with a cell phone alert about the blizzard. And that would start like 14 hours later. We'll also be talking about the technology that is required to bring you the news every day, as well as other things that you never know what is going to come up with between a couple technology broadcasters here. So at the control panel today is my producer extraordinaire, Jim Walsh. Jim, how you doing?
As soon as I wake up, I'll let you know.
It was a long weekend for you or what?
Actually, I slept all weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're still tired.
I may never wake up. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll wake you up here a little bit. So, of course, I always have to throw this out there, but we need to welcome all of our listeners on the Tech Podcast Network. Those of you who are listening via the Roku, Google TV, Apple TV, iTunes, etc., we want to thank you all for tuning in. And we do have a special guest that we are waiting for right now. And if that does not happen... And I have a feeling my cell phone's going off because we're waiting on that. But hopefully we will be having Robbie here with us shortly. So I'm just going to move right over to Jeremy. And Jeremy Novak, he's the technology broadcaster for KFYR-TV. Jeremy, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful as well.
Trying to stay warm?
It's difficult to do today, isn't it?
It's really difficult to do today.
Now, I'm just going over your resume here. You've been in broadcasting for 14 years, mostly in radio. You were the on-air talent at radio stations in Grand Forks, Minot, and Fargo, so you're not a stranger to being in front of the mic here.
No. It's like I'm with old friends right now. got
old
a control
friends,
board,
right.
Microphone, headphones.
Yes, everything is wonderful for you. And now you're the technology reporter for KFYR-TV in Bismarck, and you also have a weekly technology segment called Tech Talk every Wednesday.
Yep, every Wednesday during First News at 5.
Okay, so very good. So... I kind of want to get into the emergency alert system right away, and I want your opinion on this. Did your phone go crazy at 3:30 on Saturday morning?
You know, it did, and it's kind of a funny story because my wife and I, we just moved into a new place. Well, it's new to us. It's definitely not a new building. But, yeah, at 3:30 in the morning, this alarm goes off, and I'm like, is that the smoke detector? Is that the carbon monoxide detector? Because, it's a new place,
yep,
and it's
yep.
a rental, so
yep.
you don't really know what all the alarms sound like. You
yep.
know, did somebody leave the TV on?
Yeah.
What on earth is going on? And she's like, I think it's coming from your phone. And I went over there, and sure enough, yeah, there's a message on my phone
yep.
saying that there's a blizzard warning.
Yep. Jim, did you have the same thing?
No, I turned my phone off when I got
okay. Boy, that's probably the number one thing you can do if you don't
yeah.
want to get woke up at night. So,
mm-hmm.
well, so what did you think about getting woke up at 3:30 for a blizzard warning that was going to start at 6 p.m., literally 14 hours later?
Well, I don't know. It's good to always plan ahead because I don't know about you, but I got another one later on
yes.
that day.
Yes.
I got one at, what was it? It was like 3 in the afternoon
yep.
or something like
yep.
that. Yeah, and but I mean, it's always good to plan ahead.
Yep, yep.
So.
But did you think that it was, and I'm just going to back up a little bit here now, and then I want your opinion on this. It's called the Wireless Emergency Alert System, and it's designed for weather emergencies. You know, if you're a typhoon, a hurricane, tornado warnings, blizzard warnings, ice storms, those type of things. And it's designed for if you're in imminent danger. So meaning that if you have a tornado bearing down on you, around you, that you will get this warning. And it goes out to the cell phone tower. So it doesn't matter if you're traveling or whatever, if that tornado or the blizzard warning is in that cell phone tower range, you're going to get an alert. Now, you could live in a part of a county and not receive the warning simply because the tornado is not around you. So that's how good the system is. I have a little bit of an issue with a blizzard warning being warned 14 hours in advance. Not so much of the timing, you know, of being warned 14 hours in advance, but of getting that alert at 3:30 in the morning. If it's a tornado warning, I want to know.
Yeah.
But an event that's going to happen 14 hours later, I have a little bit of an issue with that because I have a, you know, if you're going to cry wolf a lot with this system, nobody's going to pay attention to it after a while.
Yeah, I guess, you do make a point. You know, 3:30 in the morning is awfully early.
Yes, yes.
And but so then let me ask you this. Let me answer your question with another question.
Yes.
What would be a good time?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, and I know what happened here is that they issued the blizzard warning, you know, whoever at the weather forecast, and I actually did talk to them a little bit about this, and this was not supposed to happen. But we have not had a lot of emergencies as far as weather goes this year, fortunately. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time that our alert system went off around here. And, of course, the blizzard warning is very widespread, so it affected a lot of people. I would say, and they don't have to actually have that thing turned on.
Mm-hmm.
They can make the blizzard warning, and then maybe at 9 o'clock or whatever, if it's not imminent danger, then maybe everybody's cell phone goes off or something at that time. I just have a problem with it going off at 3:30 in the morning. That's all.
So. I don't like getting woken up by your phone.
Well, this is the thing, you know, and I'm just looking forward here. If we're going to get warned like that, and then you have three or four of these, and all of a sudden there is a tornado bearing down on you, are you going to care about the phone going crazy?
I guess that is a good point. I mean, like what you said, it could, you know, you could cry wolf.
Yes.
A lot with it.
Yeah. The system is designed to actually, if you're in imminent danger, for amber alerts, which mm-hmm. I think is great.
Yeah.
And presidential declarations, you know, if there's some type of a national emergency that we have to respond to, your mm-hmm. cell phone will also be alerted that way as well. I think the technology is wonderful. Absolutely do. I just am a little concerned about the overuse of it. So,
okay.
Any other thoughts on that at all?
Well, I do agree. I think the technology is great because you know a lot of everybody has their phone with them.
Yes.
You know, wherever they're at, if they're at home, if they're at work, visiting grandma's house for Thanksgiving or whatever, everybody yep. has their phone with
them.
It
has become the dominant way that we communicate in our lives.
And a text message is also the dominant form
yes.
of communication,
yes.
which you probably know this, that they just had the 20th anniversary of the first text
yes.
message.
Yes, yes.
Not too, was it last
week?
Last week,
yes, that's right. Yep, yep. Kind of amazing. And now it's the number one form that we communicate.
What was the first text message?
It was, I believe it was like Merry Christmas or something like that.
Okay. Cool.
We need to look that up, actually. But I think you're right.
I think it was. That's,
yes.
Don't quote me on it, but I believe that's
yep.
what I remember.
It's hard to believe that's only 20 years ago, too. So, but yeah, I just I think the technology is great. I just think that there's just a little tweaking that the Weather Service has to do with it, I think. But other than that, I'm very excited about it. By the way, all phones by the end of 2014, if you buy a new phone now, mm-hmm. will have that on. And you can turn this feature off, by the way.
Oh, you can.
Yes. Yeah, you can turn off the wireless alert system, and there's actually a thing that you can unclick in your phone. There are some things like presidential declarations that you cannot turn off.
Mm-hmm.
So if your phone, even if you turn it off, they can still circumvent your phone and give you an alert to some type of imminent danger. But for the most part, you can turn it off.
But, I mean, do you think it was a good, we'll say, since this is kind of like the first time it's been activated in this area.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's the first time I've gotten a
right,
message.
Right.
So you think it was a good trial run?
Well, I think it was successful overall. And I think it's interesting that for people who've not experienced this before, they'll never forget this,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they obviously got woke up to this thing, you know.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people paid attention to it because of that.
And, yeah, like after I got it, I went back to bed, and the last thing I thought, I was like, I don't remember having the EAS alert as a ringtone. I don't remember downloading that.
Absolutely hilarious. All right. Well, after the break, everybody, Jeremy and I will continue our discussion on how technology has changed the news. So come on back, everybody.
You're listening to Supertalk 1270's podcast. Available online at supertalk1270.com.
Follow The Guru of Geek at facebook.com/TheTechRanch or Twitter at Guru of Geek or at www.thetechranch.com. Here again is your Guru of Geek, Marlo Anderson.
Welcome back to The Tech Ranch, everybody. Jeremy Novak is joining me in studio, and we were just discussing the weather alert system, the wireless weather alert system. And if you have any questions for me, you can throw those on Facebook. And we'll answer those as we can. You can follow us at The Tech Ranch, facebook.com/TheTechRanch. And Jeremy, let's move in. Any further comments maybe on the weather alert system before we move away from it?
I think, other than, like I kind of mentioned off air, the second time it went off later in the afternoon, my wife and I, we were out eating, and everybody in the restaurant, their phone went off at the exact same time.
Okay.
And it was the same ringtone,
yes.
And it was like, people are like, what is going on
yes,
here?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it is kind of freaky when it goes off when you're in a public place. And I had the same thing happen to me in Fort Worth a couple of months ago as well. Mm-hmm. And you're right. The whole coffee shop is just like a buzz. Like, you know, it's like a scene out of a movie or something when that went off. And just had a comment on Facebook from Jill. And she had mentioned that December 3rd, 1992 was the first text. So very good, Jeremy. And Merry Christmas is correct. So
all right.
Thank you, Jill,
for that. What do I win?
A can of V8.
Oh, thank you.
Look at that. It's sitting right in front of you right now.
Wow, so. Look at that.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
He could have won a V8. Oh, he did. Okay.
You can straighten up a little bit now. So, yeah. So, anyway, let's move on to the television news center that and I know you've been around probably not as long as I have, but you've been around a little bit to see a lot of technology change over the last few years as far as how people get their news. So
absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about you know, people are watching the 6 o'clock or 10 o'clock news at mm-hmm. night. Do you see a trend moving towards people viewing their news online?
Well, I don't, you know, to be honest, yes and no. I mean, there's always going to be the audience for, you know, for the five, six, ten
sure.
noon report, morning show, whatever. There's always going to be people, you know, people watching it on TV. We do a lot of, one really popular thing we have online is that we do post all the video from all of our stories on online that we have video for.
Okay.
So, you know, like I do my weekly Tech Talk, and if you go to their website, search Tech Talk, it'll come up. Actually, it'll come up all of them from the last year.
Okay.
And you can actually click and you can watch the video. We also have streaming video on our website, and we also got hooked up with an app called SyncBack, which you can download. It's a free download for your iPhone and your Android, and you can actually watch the news live streaming on your phone. And you can also watch past newscasts on demand as well.
Very
so,
cool.
You know, there's always going to be an audience for television, but you know, a lot of people, you know, if you're busy or you're out or, you know, they have this really great story that ran, you know, at noon and I missed it. Well, now you can go back and watch it as well. And we do use a lot, and we do use the, you know, our website and our social media, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. For the breaking news as well.
Okay.
A lot of people are getting their breaking news online.
Sure.
If you hear, you know, breaking news is going on, the first place a lot of people go is to the website.
Sure.
And
I can see where, you know, if you have a scheduled broadcast at 6 o'clock or whatever and something comes out at 5:15 or 4:30 or whatever, I guess you guys are on 5:10 or 5, 6, and 10.
Yes.
But if you have something that comes out that maybe doesn't require you to interrupt a broadcast, but yet is still breaking news,
you can
post it on there and people can follow along that way as well.
Absolutely, we do. And we do it all the time. Yeah, we'll post it online and then we'll post about it on Facebook as
okay.
well.
Okay.
So
very cool. Now, I would imagine that And I'm guilty of this myself, I guess, but, you know, in years past, if I was involved in an organization that had a news story about it, we'd always request a videotape or whatever of that. Do you get a lot of requests for that anymore because of the fact that it's available online now?
You know, actually, we do. Okay. We still do. We get and we have a form on our website where people can go and, you know, request stories and stuff. But we do get a lot of people requesting DVD copies. Sometimes it's, you know, somebody who wants to, you know, keep it around forever to have that physical copy. Sometimes it's, you know, companies, if we like do a story about a company or whatever, they'll, you know, want that for their archives or whatever the reason. So yes, there are still, we still get lots of requests.
Okay. And how long do you keep a story online?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I think gosh, you know, to be honest, I don't know. I don't know the answer off the top of my head. I know we have stuff going all the way back at least 3 years online.
Okay. I've noticed that I chair a couple of things in our area, and, you know, we'll put links to those. And then after a while, they do tend to disappear or whatever.
Right.
I guess it's important that if you're linking to those stories, probably not a bad idea to check on those occasionally just to make sure they're still active.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you have a link to, and you know, that's a link to anything. That's
exactly.
You know, that's website 101
yeah, absolutely.
Is to always check your links, even if you're linking to a news story or if you have your own personal blog and you're linking to something that you like as well.
Right.
Yeah. Always check your links to make sure
now,
it still works.
Is there, you know, some type of copyright infringement or anything? And is there a way that we can, you know, can a person fill out a form if there is to maybe keep that around a little bit longer online?
Online, I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I know that there, when you actually purchase when you request a story,
you have
to purchase it.
Yep.
So there is some paperwork that goes in with that.
Okay.
That you
okay.
can actually have the DVD copy.
Okay.
You know, I can't. I don't
That's
know
okay.
the answer.
That's okay. That's
to
okay.
be perfectly you know, honest with you.
I know when you know, we bring people in here all the time. I'm not expecting you to have the answer to everything that
I
have.
Well, that's like a total legal thing.
Sure.
That
sure.
Somebody a lot smarter than me will know the answer
okay.
to that.
So now let's move into cameras a little bit.
Okay.
I'm sure you've seen a transition from those big things that the news crews used to carry on their shoulders to a much smaller digital format now. Or are you still using some of those larger cameras?
Well, you know, some of our cameras that we use now, they are high definition. They're all digital. And yeah, they're still pretty good size,
Is
actually.
It because of the high def? Part of that they're still pretty good size?
Yeah, part of it.
Okay.
It's just, you know, and they have just a whole bunch of features on it.
Okay.
You know, different. It's kind of the same quality that you'll see, you know, bigger media outlets using as well. Like,
okay.
I know I was at the state fair this summer, and there was a documentary crew, I think, from the Travel Channel, and I noticed they were using cameras that were pretty similar to ours.
Okay, very cool.
But yeah, you don't have to carry around, you know, a big bag of tapes or anything like that.
Right.
Everything is digital, so we actually have a little card, a little memory card that you stick in the side of the camera, you record it, and then you take the card out and put it in the computer to edit it.
Very cool. So what about, are the cameras also wireless? So if you're doing some type of live broadcast that you're on a remote location or whatever, do they still have to plug that thing into some type of
If we are doing a live broadcast from somewhere, we do have to plug in to do a feed back to the station.
Okay, and I just got word from Jim, our producer, that Robbie's online with us. Robbie, are you there? As of course we're
experiencing.
Hello, anybody?
Hello, is this Marlo?
Hey, is this Robbie?
Yes, this is Robbie.
Hey, we really appreciate you calling in. You're actually live on the air with us right now, Robbie. And I'm just going to pull up my notes here real quick. But for everybody listening, this is Robbie Bergquist. Robbie is the co-founder of Cell Phones for Soldiers. And just to bring everybody up to speed, we did a segment last week on recycling your old phones. And Robbie was not able to join us last week, so I asked him to see if he could come on this week to kind of finish up the conversation. So welcome to the show, Robbie.
Thank you, Marlo. And you know what? It's a little bit quiet on my end. If there's some way that I could hear you a little better.
Okay, we'll see if we can.
Go ahead.
How's that? Hearing us any better? He's not hearing us at all
Maybe
now.
Not.
So,
okay, we'll do what we can.
Technical issues here. So, Robbie, you there now?
I am here now.
All
How
right, very good. So, why don't Robbie? Can you tell us a little bit about Cell Phones for Soldiers?
Well, Cell Phones for Soldiers is a nonprofit organization that I co-founded with my sister back in 2004 when I was 12 years old and she was 13 years old. And we heard a story of a soldier with an $8,000 cell phone bill that was trying to call home while serving overseas. And having two cousins actively deployed at 12 and 13, Brittany and I thought that that wasn't right. And so we wanted to initially pay off that first soldier's bill. He had a cell phone bill, again, of $8,000. So we tried to, you know, pay that off by having local car washes, bake sales, every little thing that we could do. It started off with a donation out of our piggy banks of $14. And it was very, you know, a very local kind of initiative. And then we started to realize that there were more soldiers that had these same massive cell phone bills, and we realized that there was a demand for more support there. So we wanted to start an organization, and we never thought it would be a national organization. We wanted to have it statewide and maybe help all the Massachusetts active servicemen. But then we realized that, you know, it was a national problem. We called it Cell Phones for Soldiers, and people started to associate that with old cell phones. And that's when we really started to tap into the old cell phone market. We were asking for something that nobody wants anymore, which are old cell phones. And so, you know, we were the first nonprofit back in 2004. We were one of the first nonprofits that were asking for old cell phones. And we started collecting, you know, thousands and thousands of phones. And so,
Robbie, we're pushing up against the clock here, Robbie.
We started to collect phones at drop-off sites all across the country.
All right, Robbie, we're going to have to cut you off right there. We'll come back to you right after the break. So talk to you shortly.
You're listening to Supertalk 1270's podcast, available online at supertalk1270.com.
Develop across the area, about 22 for a high on Tuesday. From the Weather Weather Center, this is meteorologist Paul Trombley on Supertalk 1270.
Right now, it's 10.
We're back to the Tech Ranch. Stream this program now at supertalk1270.com. Here is your guru of geek, Marlo Anderson.
And welcome back to the Tech Ranch, everybody. We were just having a conversation with Robbie Birdquist from Norwell, Massachusetts, and at the age of 12, his sister and Robbie have started a program called Cell Phones for Soldiers. Sorry about messing that up, Robbie. Are you still there with us?
I'm still here with you.
All right. I'm just going through my notes real quick. This is absolutely amazing that you started this when you and your sister were 12 and 13. Now, did you know the soldier personally that had the $8,000 cell phone bill?
No, we did not. We were actually, every single morning we put the TV on and we kind of, you know, go about our things in the morning, make our breakfast, and this story actually just popped up. And for some reason, you know, our whole family just stopped, and that never happens when we get ready. We're all running around the house, and for some reason this story just, you know, hit us all pretty deep, and we all stopped and watched it. So we didn't know him personally. The only thing we knew about him was that he's from Natick, Mass.
Okay.
So he was just about 30 minutes away.
So you emptied your piggy banks that had $14 in them. You had some bake sales. You did some other fundraising type of things. And then something inspired you about how to start Cell Phones for Soldiers. So can you tell me a little bit about why you came up with this idea?
Well, it's pretty funny. You know, we called it Cell Phones for Soldiers from the get-go. And it was still a local town initiative. And, you know, it started to gain a lot of attention when we called it Cell Phones for Soldiers, because people were sending us old cell phones, and we didn't know what to do with them. We had about 15 or 20 boxes of cell phones that were sitting in our piano room. And CBS Evening News actually heard about us and put us onto their late-night show. And that's when we really started to gain some attention. People realized that we weren't asking for money. We were asking for something that is, you know, in your basement or in your drawer that you always forget about and you don't need anymore. And at the same time, you could allow a soldier to call home. So it was something that was very simple, very easy, something that you didn't have to pay for, and it was also supporting the troops. So people really, you know, kind of, you know, they really loved our idea. So it was very, very simple. It was free to send your old phones to all the drop-off sites, and we made it simple to have, you know, in police stations, fire departments, these drop-off sites you could go to. And actually, on our website, you can go to, there's a zip code locator. And so if you type the zip code in, you can see if there's one in your area. And if not, you can put a prepaid mailing label on it and ship it right to our recycler.
It's an absolutely amazing story, and I'm just looking over the stats, Jeremy. This is amazing. You've provided more than 168 million minutes of free talk time to our soldiers. That's amazing. Go ahead.
It's been pretty astounding. We've recycled over 10 million phones, which is the equivalent. We always say this to the military members: the equivalent to 12 Abrams tanks.
Okay.
And so, you know, you think of that stat, and that's pretty crazy to compare to that. And so, you know, 10 million cell phones that we've also kept at a landfill, so you can toss into the equation the green variable. So, you know, there's a lot of variables that go into that mix of, you know, a really awesome organization that we've been able to be blessed to have created.
Now, you're still doing this with your sister, and it looks like you have some other family members involved. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Well, our parents, you know, ever since I'm in college right now, I'm 20 years old in college. My sister has just turned 22, and she's in college as well. And so ever since getting to college, we've been kind of taking a backseat to it. We still travel a lot. We still do some interviews. But it's much more behind-the-scenes work with our parents. They have really taken the leadership role, and we've still been, you know, in with the organization and making the decisions. But they are the ones that, you know, still have to deal with the recycler and the financials and that kind of thing. And those are the things that we're still learning about in college. So it's necessary for them to be able to help us out. We also have awesome public relations ladies that help us set up all of our interviews. So we have a small team. It's about five people that is on our team. It's still very grassroots. Our office is our kitchen table. And so, you know, although it's a national organization, we've been able to do some amazing things. At the end of the day, it's solely our family and just two ladies on top of that. So, you know, we've been very lucky to have been able to, with such a small group, been able to make such a big difference.
That's amazing. And I also have Jeremy Novak here with me. Robbie, he is the tech broadcaster for KFYR-TV, which is an NBC affiliate, if I remember right.
That is correct.
I don't want to mess that up here. So anyway, he has a question for you as well.
Yeah, you know, you're just talking about, you know, juggling, you know, how you're juggling school and this program right now. So what happens in a couple years after you graduate? Are you planning on going back to this full time, or what do you think you're going to do?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I'm sure my parents would love to know that answer too. But, but you know, I'm still searching around. I'm a sport management major at college right now, and you know, I've always been passionate about sports, and I'm always the kind of person that wants to follow what he does, what he loves to do. And I've always dreamt of my office being a stadium. So that's why I wanted to go into sport management. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if I could, I would love to run Cell Phones for Soldiers or a nonprofit. You know, maybe for my master's, I might go and get my nonprofit background in nonprofit. I know that whatever I do, I need to help people. Ever since starting this, it's changed what I've valued and what I've really aspired to be. And seeing the positive impact of helping other people, and that's the best motivator that there could ever be. So I know that whenever I graduate, it has to be to help people. But I love to tie it into sports, and that's why I did sport management. So, you know, if I can do both of those, I'd be a happy man.
Figure out a way to combine the two.
That's right.
Exactly.
Well, Robbie, this is an amazing story, and we're also going to help you as we can. We are going to put a call out to the people who are listening to us. If you have a business that you want to start collecting cell phones for soldiers, the station here is going to do this. KFYR, are you going to do it as well?
I will have to ask.
Okay. but we will do what we can to have drop-off points for you here, and I'll be in contact with you and your associates, and we'll see what we can do on our side to bring more cell phones for soldiers.
Marlo, thank you so much, and thank you to Super Talk.
Hey, you're very welcome. Thank you for calling, Robbie, and an amazing story. So thank you again for calling.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Pretty amazing, Jeremy.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's a great program. And to think he started that when he was 12, you know, to have and to completely come up with that idea on his own, him and his sister, and it's a completely outside-the-box idea, too.
Yep. They have, I'm just going over the stats here again, and just think about this, 168 million minutes of talk time that they provided to our soldiers. They still mail 12,000 calling cards a week.
Wow, that's a
lot. To our soldiers. They recycled more than 10.5 million cell phones. You know, so you think about the impact that has in our landfills.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also launched Helping Heroes Home, and that is to provide emergency funds for returning veterans as well. So they continue to be a major factor in helping our soldiers.
Yeah, it's a great program. It's a good cause, and you know, it helps. You know, it really helps them too. The soldiers, you know, connect. You know, connect with their families,
absolutely,
call home. You
absolutely
know, and that's when you're halfway around the world. That's everything.
Well, and it's expensive. It's not as expensive as it was in 2004 when, mm-hmm, you know, when they were talking about the $8,000 phone bill there, but it is still very expensive. If you took your own cell phone and called from the Middle East back home when you had the opportunity to do that, the phone bills will be outrageous.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. So, all right, Jim, we're going to go to a quick break right now so Jeremy and I can continue our discussion about technology and news. So after the break, everybody, Jeremy and I will be talking about those things as well as his other favorite technologies. So come on back, everybody.
Catch this and other podcasts of Supertalk 1270 online at supertalk1270.com. Local weekday mornings on Super Talk 1270.
Post your comments or questions at thetechranch.com. Let's head back to the studio and join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Tech Ranch, everybody. I'm joined in studio by my producer extraordinaire, Jim Walsh. And of course, I also have Jeremy Novak from KFIR TV. He is the technology broadcaster, and this is the part of the show that I have no notes for. So we're going to go back and forth a little bit. So
here we go.
There we go. That's right. So
winging it.
any final thoughts on technology and news?
Well, you know, it's always changing, and now there are just, you know, before it used to just be, you know, you get your news just at, you know, a certain time when the newscast was on, and now it's completely 20, you know, the new, because the news never sleeps. The
That's
news
right.
never stops.
That's right.
So, and, you know, and more people are getting used to that with the social media and the internet and all that stuff. You know, people need to get that information 24/7, even if it's just, you know, a little bit at a time, you know.
Yep.
So that's the biggest thing that I've seen, you know, change with news. You know, it's not just, you know, a couple times a day. It's all day long.
Right.
It used to be that if you wanted to see the news, you had to plan your whole evening around it.
Yes.
There was a certain time when you knew Uncle Walter was coming on, and you had to pretty much schedule your day around that.
Yep.
Now
yeah,
it's kind
absolutely
of the reverse situation.
Yeah, and you know, and people come to expect that now.
Yeah.
They expect to be, you know, notified as soon as something breaking or big happens.
Yep. And on the other side of that, if I didn't make it home at 10 o'clock, I can still catch the news the next morning or whatever if I want to watch it then too. So it's convenient for all of us nowadays too to have that at our fingertips at any time that we want.
Oh, absolutely. Through our website, and like I was talking about earlier, through that SyncBack app, you can actually watch newscasts on demand back a couple days.
Right, which is wonderful too. So, okay. Well, so what other technologies do you like to use?
Me personally?
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm addicted to my smartphone.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay.
I really like finding neat and interesting and different apps. And, you know, the apps that entertain me the most are the ones that don't do anything important whatsoever.
Of course.
Like drinking beer or whatever, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Like,
I'm sure you've seen that.
I have one where you have a piano on there.
Okay.
You know, or something that you can, and I've actually used this a few times. It has a level. You know, you can see if, you know, it's got
a little
bubble. And
you know, you think that that's not useful, but that's actually a pretty useful app, you know, when you're hanging photos or whatever on a
mm-hmm.
wall.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
I've used that a couple times to hang some pictures up.
You bet.
You know, just fun type stuff like that. You know, I really like kind of the goofy, interesting apps. Probably my favorite one that I've used, and I actually did a story on it this summer, is an app called Sleep Talk.
Okay.
And what it does is you plug your phone in and you put it next to your bed, and you set like a recording or a volume level.
Okay.
And what it does is anytime something above that level, so anytime there's a noise that's out of the ordinary, comes up, if you're snoring, if you're talking in your sleep, it will record that. So
I have never heard of this.
Oh, I'll have to show it to you.
So have you run across anything interesting?
You know, I ran it for 2 weeks, and I snore a lot. But I did catch myself talking, or it wasn't necessarily talking in my sleep. It was more like gibberish, like that. Because my wife tells me that I talk in my sleep.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, we're going to test this out.
Sure.
So yeah, that was kind of neat. It took a couple tries to get the volume level right, because I'm one of those people I like to sleep with a fan on.
Okay.
You know,
me
gotta
too.
Have that. You know, gotta have that background noise.
The white noise. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Just to help you relax. So yeah. When I first used it, I had it too sensitive, and so it recorded, you know, 8 hours of
sure.
a fan.
Sure. But, sleep talk.
Yeah. It's,
interesting.
It's pretty neat. And, you know, you can even, I mean, there's even options, of course, you know, with everything else, you can share it on your social media.
Sure.
So you can be like, hey, look what I said in my sleep
last
night.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why you'd want to do that, but you can.
Interesting. So any other favorite apps on your phone?
You know, that's off the top of my head. That's probably my, one I had probably the most fun with
okay.
was that one. You know, and then the apps that I use the most are, you know, I like movies, so
okay.
I can't remember the name of it now. I use it all the time, but you know, apps that'll help you find the movie theater, and it'll give you
the
Rotten Tomatoes rating.
Sure, there's several of those. Sure,
yeah, or IMDb.
Yep.
I use that a lot too, because mm-hmm. we'll be watching TV. I'm like, I know that person. I've seen that person before. Who is that?
He was in a Hitchcock movie or something.
Yeah, he was in that one movie with that one person about that one thing.
Or whatever, yeah.
Why don't you describe what that is? A lot of people don't know what you're talking about right now.
Oh, IMDb.
So, yes.
Well, that is it started off as a website. It stands for Internet Movie Database.
Okay.
And what you can do is you can type in an actor or actress's name. You can type in a movie or a TV show or, you know, anything like that. And it'll give you like a biography of the actor or
okay.
actress. And if you bring up a TV show, it'll have, you know, all the people who are in it, all the regulars, all the guest stars, that sort of thing. And there's even like a trivia section on there. And,
very cool.
Yeah, it's been around for a while.
Okay.
But yeah, Internet Movie Database.
Okay. Have you played around with like SoundHound or anything along those lines?
To get audio.
Yeah, you know what it does is, and I absolutely am fascinated by this. But you'll turn SoundHound on, and you can't remember the name of the song or the artist that's playing it.
I was thinking about that.
It'll actually listen to the song and then say, "Hey, that is whatever," mm-hmm. and then it'll actually bring up words that in the song, and so you could even sing along with it if you wanted to.
Yes,
absolutely amazing.
I use the one I use is Shazam.
Oh yes,
that's the other big one, and you can have the lyric play, and you can sing along with the words if you want.
Yep.
And people are like, you've never heard this song before. How do you know all the words?
Yes, yeah.
Well, that's the magic of technology.
It is kind of amazing, actually, that I can just listen to a couple seconds of it and come up with the name of the song and words and a whole bit. It's just a very, very cool thing. Now, you're a Droid user, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So why did you pick Droid over iPhone?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, the biggest thing that pushed me to an Android instead of an iPhone is I need an actual tactile keyboard.
Okay.
I need a pull-out keyboard. I'm a very large person. I have big thumbs.
Okay.
So
okay.
usually when I, and I've tried using touchscreen keyboards, and I'll usually end up hitting about, you know, four letters at once.
Yep.
It's pretty bad.
Yep.
So I know my brother-in-law, all my in-laws, they all have iPhones, and they said, well, you know, you get used to it. And, you know, I've tried it. I tried, you know, before I bought my phone, I tried his a few times, and it was okay, but I just like having the actual physical keyboard.
Sure. Okay. Cool. Any other apps that you're thinking that come to the top of your head? And we can go to websites as well. You have any websites that you like to...
Well, you know, I think we mentioned most of the ones that I use all the time. Obviously, KFYRTV.com. There you go. There's your plug right there.
There you go. Well, I know we wanted to talk about this anyway, and I think we're probably at that time, but what is your special going to be on this week?
Well, this week I'm actually going to be working on a story on home entertainment, home theater systems.
Okay.
You know, it's wintertime. It's also the holidays. Everybody has... What's your favorite holiday movie?
Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation?
Yes.
How about you?
Jim,
favorite holiday movie for Christmas? Die Hard. I don't know.
Well, it does take place during
Christmas.
Christmas story.
Christmas Story. Christmas Story. Yeah, okay. That's okay. A classic.
Don't put
right
your
there.
Eye out, kid.
But anyway, it's going to be on. You know, you can. It's amazing all the stuff that you can do with home theaters.
Sure.
Now. So it's going to be kind of like along those lines.
So did you find anything fascinating, you know, to you as far as home theater goes? I mean, we're talking drop down screens and all this type of thing. Or?
Well, you know, the biggest thing that the newest thing right now, obviously, is, you know, the 3D stuff, and then there's also smart TVs.
Okay.
You know, you can get Netflix streaming directly on your TV without, you know, buying an extra.
Yes. And Zuvio as well, which is my company.
There
by
you
the
go.
Way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. You can get that on there, and you can also get you know, all your Facebook and Twitter on there as well. So
yes.
I mean, you can do anything with those types of TVs, and then also, you know, you can also, there's some you can interface with your smartphone too.
Yep.
You know.
So have you done that at all? And I know we're going all over with this conversation, but that's
okay.
That's what this was about, this last segment. Have you taken your cell phone or your smartphone and made a remote control out of it?
You know, I've downloaded a couple apps to do that, and I have not gotten it to work.
Okay.
Myself.
Interesting.
I've tried to get it set up, but for some reason, device A isn't talking to device B correctly.
Okay.
So.
It is actually pretty cool. I have a Roku. Actually, I have four of them in our house, and it'll allows you to actually run those Rokus, which is an internet-based cable box, I guess you could say. And it works really, really well.
Mm-hmm. I imagine it. You know, it works great, and you can set. I'm sure you can, set up your DVR and everything like that. To
absolutely,
catch your shows. Or if you're like, oh man, this movie's A Christmas Story is going to be on tonight. I better go. You know, I want to record that.
Yeah, exactly.
You can do that on your phone, and you can obviously do it online too. But
okay, anything else that stands out as far as home stereos go, or home theaters, I should say.
Well, you know, those are probably the biggest thing. And one interesting thing, you know, it's with technology, is that everything is getting bigger, better, but it's also, you know, kind of going down in price as
well.
Like, I have the TV I have at home is a 50 some odd inch plasma TV, and it's from like 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my father-in-law just bought a big TV, you know, it's smart TV, all the bells and whistles, and it costs the exact same as my old TV cost.
Right, right.
You know, and
probably lighter and thinner.
Oh, yeah.
And all that stuff.
It's lighter, it's thinner, it's larger, and it's, you know, and it has internet on it, too.
We had an event over the weekend that we had taken a couple of flat screens, too, and I was just thinking to myself as I'm literally lifting them out of my car by myself, that not that long ago, you needed two people to move these things.
Oh, yeah.
They were heavier than all get-out before.
I remember when I was a kid, we got a 25-inch TV, and I thought that was great, but you needed two people to carry it.
It was a piece of furniture.
It really was.
It was a tube, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it's really amazing what's gone on with that.
You know, it's just like my great grandma's old TV. She had the one in the wooden box. You know, it's from like the 60s or whatever.
Yep.
And then what did you do when that broke down? Well, you bought the new TV and you put it on top.
That's exactly
so
right.
Two TVs on top of each other.
We had the same thing. Yes, that's
because that thing is so heavy you can't move it out of the house.
Yeah, it was literally a piece of furniture, like Jim said. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, anything else in the home theater realm? Any projectors that you'd taken a look at?
You know, not yet. No.
Did you notice when you were working on your piece that most people are moving more away from projectors now and into the large plasma or LEDs?
I think that's kind of a matter of choice. You know,
okay.
Some people are always going to want a projector. Some people are going to want an LCD or an LED type TV. You know,
notice that I threw plasma in there. There isn't a lot of plasma out there anymore, is there?
No, that's because plasma, I was told plasma is kind of an older type technology, you know, because it actually has like the, you know, plasma liquid or whatever.
That's correct, yeah.
Because those TVs are heavier,
yep.
And they aren't as thin. And the where it's going now is more like the LCD and the LED.
Right.
And you can still get a plasma if you want, but
plasma,
I have a plasma, and mine weighs a lot.
Sure.
It's
heavy. And I think plasma is also the picture is actually more vivid on them,
mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of, you know, on the downside of them as well, which is why people are, and especially the lightness factor. I just think that that really is a big deal.
Especially since now people want big TVs and they all want them mounted on their walls.
Exactly. So very cool. Well, Jeremy, okay, so Friday or on Wednesday.
Wednesdays
at
during
5,
First News at 5, yes.
Okay, is your segment, and this week will be on Home Theater System. So join Jeremy, everybody.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me on.
It's been great, Jeremy.
This was
we
fun.
Appreciate you. And we'll have to do this again sometime.
Absolutely.
All right. All right, everybody. Come on back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Goodbye, everybody.
Podcasts of this and other shows are now available on SuperTalk1270.com.